for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday morning service of December the 29th, 1995, at the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate is the speaker for the morning.
True, the Lord says that He's looking for those to be intercessors. And it's not just for us to talk about it here, but when you go home, determine that you're going to be a prayer warrior, that you're going to pray for the nation and for your families and for the household of faith, because that's the only answer for the household of faith. The rest of it, they're just going to be in their own trouble unless they start repenting, because the judgments of the Lord are in the land, and they're going to exceed fast. Now, we've been talking about how the technical world has developed so fast over the last, almost in the last two or three years, the electronic world has multiplied far beyond what we can even understand. I was reading some of it, and it's so far over my head that I can't even comprehend it. And if that has happened like that, then God's power on the other side is going to rise up to stand against the things of satanic power. And most of the electronic world is used for Satan. And it's all unsaved men who live in degradation that have brought it to pass. So who does it belong to? But bless God, we can take it and use it. Well, Brother George, let me get out of your way here so we can learn some more from this morning from the Word.
Lord, I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, that was fairly good. Let me try that again. I'm excited in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. You ought to be excited and get more so.
Amen.
Let me just tell you who you are to start with here this morning. Christians have too long been bombarded and maligned and maliciously talked about by the forces of darkness, and we don't seem to be able to get out from under the cloud of darkness like we ought to. But we need to get under the spout where the glory runs out.
Amen.
And the Lord said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And the more you worship and praise God and just let go and let God, the more He'll pour into you. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You am what God said you am. Glory to God. Now, but the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, the world, to be to Him a people of His own possession as this day. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own mind and heart. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Doesn't leave any time for anything else, does it? You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his exhortations and his statutes which he commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised you. And the Lord commands us to do all these statutes, to reverently fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day. Alive as at this day. Now, I challenge you to, when you leave here and you get back home, I challenge you to study diligently the book of Deuteronomy. God is no respecter of persons. And what he said then, he is saying now.
That's right.
He hasn't changed. For obedience, there is blessings. For disobedience, there is cursings. And we do the deciding, the choosing of whose side we're going to be on. And it isn't so much that God is going to reach down and bat us over the head with a two before. No, God finished that work in Jesus. God gave of himself entirely, utterly, completely in Jesus. He took upon himself all of his own wrath in the man Jesus. And now he throws a ball in our courts and he says, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to serve me and receive the blessings that I have purchased for you? Or are you going to listen to your head or somebody else's head and follow the devil and let him just put all the garbage on you? It's up to us. Yes, up to us. Well, I said all that to say this. Jesus loves us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I guess the title for this morning would just simply be Overcoming Satan by Faith. Overcoming Satan by Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the more you diligently seek the Lord, the more you endeavor to hide God's word in your hearts, then as you draw closer and closer to God, what happens? The shackles fall off. The lies depart. God's word is true. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And God said that he would withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So if something good is being withheld, don't look to God. Just look in a mirror and say, hey, where are you not walking uprightly? The word of God says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And as I said the other morning, that doesn't necessarily mean a handful of money. But if you need it, it'll come. And you'll be amazed. You'll be utterly amazed. One little testimony. I had $2. The Lord gave me $2 at one time. I'd given everything I had to the Lord. He gave me $2. Well, I needed gas to drive my car back from where I was at. And I thought, well, now that'll buy the gas I need. And yet in the service, the Lord said, all right, I've given to you, now give to me. And one time I said, but God, and I got real convicted about that, and the Lord just said, no, give to me. Well, God made that car drive those miles that I needed to go on what gas was in the tank, and I didn't think it would make it. And that's the only time that I've ever been without. The very next morning, this youngster, I was living in a halfway house at that time with a bunch of youngsters. And the next morning, this young fellow walked in and said, the Lord said for me to give you this. And it was a dollar bill rolled around, wrapped around a quarter. I just said, Lord bless him. I knew that was all he had. And from then on, as I have learned to trust God, I don't never count what I have as whether I have enough or not. I can have nothing and yet possess all things. So I don't go by what my bank book says or my pocketbook or pocket. I don't go by that. I simply go by the word of God that says God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold and silver under them, so why should I worry? I'm not going to. The righteous have never been forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Hallelujah. So we're in spiritual warfare. That's obvious, isn't it? Very obvious. And yet, we are supposed to be utterly, absolutely victorious. Again, the Word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. God wants to bring us to a place to where not only will we put on the whole armor of God, but that we will keep it on. We'll keep it on. We'll stay dressed in the whole armor of God. That our mind will be sharp with the Word of God. That when a thought comes that's negative or derogatory or whatever, we can immediately know where it comes from. We can immediately know that's not me. I don't think those kind of thoughts because I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new and all things are of God. And then we can learn how to walk in victory. And I like the acrostic the Lord gave me about love. Living on victory eternally. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And again, I'm liable to read out of two different Bibles here this morning, but I want to read out of the Amplified here to start with. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. You remember what I said about that union? God has joined you, the spiritual person, to Himself. Please, keep that in mind. You are joined to God. Let's put it another way. You are welded to God. You ladies will better understand, you are knitted to God. But that's you, the spiritual person, not this outer flesh and blood thing. It can't inherit the kingdom of God. You're just to learn how to control and use this outer tabernacle to convey you, the spirit man, anywhere God wants you to go and to say whatever God wants you to say. And keep in mind that the words of a wise person are few. Also keep in mind that as the Lord begins to develop in you that Christ-like nature, don't allow pride to get you puffed up and you go around telling everybody how great you are. The Bible says, let another speak for you and not yourself. Hallelujah. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with Him, draw your strength from Him. And every time it says Him in the Word, or God, or the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, it always also means the Word. This right here, the Word. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor. Whole armor. What is this armor? Again, it's the Word. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. So you knit yourself a helmet with these promises and put that helmet on and know the promises of God. So whenever the attack comes, whatever it might be, those fiery darts will just bounce right off. Hallelujah. So you sneeze a couple of times, and somebody says, I guess, Ed, you're catching a cold. And Ed says, no, I'm out of the catching business. I don't catch colds anymore. I don't catch colds anymore. We can learn how to be victorious. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Strategies, craftiness, cunningliness. Hey, listen, we're no match for that supernatural enemy called Lucifer, adversary, devil, whatever. Bunch of names for him. We're no match for him in the natural whatsoever. But in Jesus, We're not only a match for him, we are his conqueror. There's nothing he's got that's too big for God. Nothing. That means there's nothing he's got that's too big for you to just take it and stop on it. But you've got to learn to do it, and you've got to do it by faith. Verse 12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Oh, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So stop wrestling with yourself about situations. Oh, but you just don't understand, Brother George. I feel so remorseful about what I had to say to that person yesterday. Oh, I feel so shameful. I feel so guilty. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I guarantee you, remorse, shame, guilt, all that is unrighteous. Get rid of it. Stop allowing your head, your mind, your body, your extremities, whatever, stop allowing them to be used by the forces of darkness. Make them instruments of righteousness. Hallelujah. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I can't pray all the time. Who said you can't? You can pray while you're working. You can pray while you're driving. God has made us so that we can pray diligently in the Spirit, and at the same time we can be doing things in the natural. Well, let's look at a little more here. 2 Corinthians 10. 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, and then being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. Oh, glory. Remember what I read in Psalm 149 about the privilege that we have as soldiers and Christians in God's army? It's up to us. It's up to us to come back to a place to where we can be so sensitive and so discerning of the powers of darkness that we can look at a person and we can know what's going on, and we can literally say to that person, hey, you must stop lying to the Holy Ghost or else you'll drop dead before you walk out that door. The biggest problem in the church as a whole today, there's no fear of God. Oh, but God's such a loving God. Why, he wouldn't do nothing. I think we better go back and read the Word of God again. God said, let me alone, I'm going to destroy the whole mess. And Moses says, no, you won't. Moses knew what God had, the covenant that God had made. But even at that, God reached down one day and 23,000 of those people were gone. And again, God sent that angel into that enemy camp and 185,000, I believe, wasn't it, Jim? Something like that. Were slew in one night's work. That's a pretty good night's work for just one angel. And yet we're told the angel of that angels are ministering spirits for us today. What do we got to be afraid of? Got to be afraid of displeasing God. That's what we ought to be afraid of. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 1. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I better find Timothy. I didn't say Philippians. This charge and admonition I commit and trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, that inspired and aided by them you may wage the good warfare, keeping fast hold on faith, that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence, and a good, clear conscience, by rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. Are we going to make shipwreck of our faith? No. We're going to stand. We're going to stand. And if we do anything, we're going to go forward. It kind of perturbs me when I hear Christians saying, oh, the devil just give me such a hard time. Oh, the devil just give me such a terrible time. He loves to hear that. He loves to hear us glorifying his ability to give us a hard time, folks. Why don't we just think and say, hey, I got kind of shot up last night because I was giving the devil such a hard time. Yeah, I was really giving him a hard time last night. Of course, he put up a little fight, but you know I got the victory. We got to learn how to talk all over again. We're in a different kingdom right now than what we were. I used to be in the kingdom of, well, I don't know if I can make it or not. Well, I don't believe I got enough. But now I'm in the kingdom I have. I am because I am. Because I am set up. I got a big old thing on my wall at home. It says, God, in a message by God, he says, I am not yesterday. And I am not tomorrow. And of course, there's more. I'm just giving you, a condensed version. He says, I am that I am. No yesterday and tomorrow with God. It's all now. Talk to some of those astronauts that's been out there in space, and there's no day and night. It's just all there. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned, and confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses. Is the joy of the Lord your strength this morning?
Yes, amen.
Well, now, if that's so, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, does that give you any room to be weak? Because if you feel and you confess that your weaknesses, then you're saying that, God's not got very much joy. But if the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you know that all joy rest in God, then your strength ought to be pretty good. Then you turn that around and you say, the strength of the Lord is my joy. Well, then your joy ought to be so exuberant that you out-shout me when I sing that little song. I'm excited in the Lord. Praise God. All right, that's the preview. Now we'll get down how to overcome Satan by faith. Prerequisites for spiritual warfare. When you leave here, You get back out and around your homes and towns and all, it's going to be a different atmosphere than it is here. So you need to know how to keep that which you've got here. So let's look at some things that we're going to need. Number one is honesty. Absolute honesty. Let's look at Hebrews 13, verse 1. Hebrews 13, honesty is having a good conscience toward God. And just remember, you cannot hide nothing from God. The night is just like the day with God. Hebrews 13, 1 says, let love for your fellow believers continue and be a fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. Never let it fail. All of us know people in our families or in our neighborhoods that need freedom. They need salvation. And the Bible tells us explicitly, if just two of us would agree on earth as to touching anything that we ask of the Father, it'll be done. So we need to make it a practice to let love be our dominating force. That's God. God is love. Love is God. If you know somebody, as an individual, get somebody else that's a firm believer with you and start praying for that person. But don't just pray. Go visit that person. Take them a little card or a gift or something. Just let them know that you love them. Let your light so shine that others may see the good works of God in you. Don't preach to them. Just love them. Be available. That's really all God wants for you to do anyway, is to be available. And then in due time, they're going to ask you some questions. And when they get inquisitive enough to ask you a question, they're opening the door then. Then you can tell them. Be as harmless as a dove, but as wise as a serpent. Hallelujah. Complete honesty. Let love be your guide. And then there's a spiritual relationship between warfare and having a good conscience. And let's look again at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. Don't try to presume something. Don't try to make somebody think that you've got great faith when down in deep inside there's that little nagging doubt. God knows all about it. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, when that gift of faith begins to rise and you sense God leading you in that particular direction, whatever it might be, you can rest assured something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Kind of like the motto that we had as when I was in the Seabees in World War II. The motto of our battalion was, the difficult we do immediately. The impossible takes just a little longer. So the difficult things we can see in faith, they're just obliterated and done away with. But sometimes something that would seem impossible to us takes a little bit longer. We might have to stand in faith. Instead of fasting 3 days, we might have to fast five. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. No, we better learn how to fast more and more and more. We want to see the manifested power of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 18 and 19 again. Like we just read that. I want to read it again. This charge and admonition I commit and trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, that inspired and aided by them, you may wage the good warfare. And you can read verse 19 later. I want to get on here. I got much to cover. 1 John. Now we're talking about honesty. The little book of 1 John. The love book. The King James Version, it's love, loved, loveth, is mentioned 123 times in those short little 4 or 5 chapters. Very important. First John 1, 8, 9, and 10. If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray, and the truth which the gospel presents is not in us, does not dwell in our hearts. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action. If we say, that is, or claim, we have not sinned, we contradict his word and make him out to be false and a liar. And his word is not in us. The divine message of the gospel is not in our hearts. It's one thing to commit a sin, it's another thing to keep on sinning. And yet God says, I want you to become mature, perfect. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, it says in Hebrews chapter 5. So if we can discern both good and evil, then we're to choose the good. Stay away from the evil. And God expects us to come to a place to where we can be sons and daughters of God Almighty, that we can walk through day after day after day without allowing our minds to be used by the lies and the deceptions of the devil or demon spirits, which are sins, or sins that are demons. Paul said in Hebrews 6, he said, let not sin reign, which means to rule, and to rule, that means that sin's going to have to give you an order, but you don't have to obey it. You don't have to do what your head says. Just because your head says a whole bunch of junk, don't allow that stuff to cause you to become depressed. When your head begins to think, thoughts begin to traverse through your mind that are negative, start praising the Lord. If you can't, then just pray in the Spirit. And if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, then get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Get your spirit, you, the real person, get him freed up. And get your mind unlocked to allow that spirit to come up and well out and pray in tongues. Glory to God. Well, I don't know about that. I don't understand what I'm saying. I might not be saying something right. You're not supposed to, in your natural mind, to understand what you say. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. But we that are spiritual discerneth or judgeth or understandeth all things. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ, or we should have. Psalm 32:5 said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. You instantly forgave me. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, those things are not for today. Baloney. Man, if God's made a covenant with us to 1,000 generations, which is 40,000 years, then bless God, how long is 2,000 years ago to God? Has he got so old till he can't, do what he did back then? Not hardly. My Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he doesn't change. Quite a creature of habit, isn't he? But his habits are all good. And he says, I want your habits to be like my habits. All good. Said, when you get to where you're like me, then you won't have to change anymore either. Yeah, but that could never be. Who said? Anything too hard for God? Any human being too tough for God? Glory. Rationalization, being deception, paralyzes the delivering power of the Word. And how our finite minds love to rationalize on the things of life, of God, or whatever. You ever see the bumper sticker says, God God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, you can just go ahead and take that I believe it out of there. God said it, that settles it. You might add on the bottom of it, I better believe it. Used to be bumper stickers, God is my co-pilot. You better change it. God is the pilot. Oh, glory. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Could that be happening today? Man, it's happening so much. Oh, man. Hey, there's a warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn, hold your finger here and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, I'm getting too excited. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. This is a warning. I mean a red light warning. Stop and comprehend this. And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. But then the next verse. So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness. As ministers of righteousness. That's demon spirits masquerading as ministers of righteousness. If you don't know God's word, you are subject to being deceived. God expects each and every one of us to allow Him to teach, to train, to bring us into a position of sonship. No more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But Brother George, you just don't know what so-and-so said. Oh, it was so good. Be careful of what you hear. Prayerful. And even when you think it's right on, don't take the word of that. Don't even take my word for what I'm saying. Go to the word. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness. But their end will correspond with their deeds. We look back down through church history and we see an awful lot of people that were used mightily of God with the gifts and callings of God, and yet in the end, their lives were destroyed. Why? Because little by little, the forces of the pit of hell gradually chipped away. A little here, a little there. I know a young minister started a church in his home, and then he decided he needed some elders, and he got this one man, and this one man just puffed him up. Oh, my pastor this, my pastor that, and right in front of him, you know, always, my pastor this, and that poor little pastor got so puffed up with pride until it destroyed. We are to be extremely careful, prayerful, thoughtful, so that we might not be overcome, but be overcomers. Yes, amen. More than conquerors. What is more than a conqueror? Person who's more than a conqueror is that person that is a clerk in a store, let's say, and a robber comes in, sticks a gun in his face, and says, I want all the money you got there. And the man behind there with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, knowing the word, he knows that he can't be killed because he's a spiritual being. He just looks at the robber and he said, you know Jesus loves you. And the robber's holding the gun and it kind of wavers a little bit. And the robber says, hey, I want your money. Well, you know, really, Jesus really loves you. About three or four times of saying that, and the demons in that man ain't going to stand it. He's going to do one or two things. He'll either turn and just walk out, or he'll try to shoot, and he won't be able to. Oh, but Brother George, I'd be so afraid. Afraid of what? If you're already dead, how are you going to die? Can't kill a dead person. Might even look at him and say, hey, so what? I ain't giving you my money. You can't kill me, no way. I'm already dead. That ought to shock him. Can't you just see that robber's face turning as white as chalk? What? What'd you say? I'm getting out of here. Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, back to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Got one more verse there. Verse 2, for indeed we have had the glad tidings of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith, that is, with the leaning of the entire personality on God and absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb, the ones who heard, who did believe. Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, that's good. I'll throw that in free. Oh, glory. I think I'll just go and have a Holy Ghost fit. It must be something in this water today. Oh, hallelujah. I knew something was going to happen. Woke up this morning feeling so good I couldn't hardly stand myself. Oh, hallelujah. I think I'm in 1 Timothy this time. Let's see. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some would turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Along with 2 Corinthians 11 there, 14, that's quite a warning. Through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared or cauterized. Glory. We absolutely must be totally, utterly, absolutely honest with God. And the more honest we get with God, the more honest we're going to be with ourselves. And the more honest we are with ourselves, then the more victorious we're going to walk. Demonic searing of the conscience is a very, very dangerous position. That will cause you to have a know-it-all attitude. It will cause you to have an unteachable spirit. Well, I've heard that message 10 times before. It can't teach me nothing out of that message. Listen, I don't care if you hear something 50 times. If God wants to tell you something in it, He can tell you something. Amen. He can certainly tell you something. Psalm 139. 2 verses in Psalm 139 we're going to look at. And the glory of the Lord came down. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, last 2 verses. This needs to be our daily prayer. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are ordered by the Lord. If we'll allow God to do it, if we'll allow Him to do it, He will cause us to be an absolute new creation, as He said He wants us to be. Isn't that right, Brother Gene? We must be honest. Honest. All pretension must go. Church people and the church universal is full of pretension. Well, how are you today, Brother Jim? I'm just fine. Oh, man, everything's going so good. And God says, oh, yeah, how come you had that big quarrel with your wife this morning and said all them mean things? Getting awfully quiet in here. Do you know people that are dead to self and alive to Christ don't fuss and quarrel and argue and bicker and all that kind of stuff? Do you know what causes quarrels and contention and strife? Self-justification. That's all. Self-justification. And again, does a dead person have any justification? None whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at some things about humility. Humility. Walking in humility. God's attitude toward pride is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. We'll start there. We're pretty close to there. This is God's attitude now. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil, and perverted and twisted speech I hate. I saw the manifestation of the Spirit of God in humility operate in Daytona Beach at a house that a young fella had come all the way from California and opened this halfway house up and was having meetings in it. And this particular night I was there. And I don't remember what I was sharing on. I remember that we had a foot washing. There were youngsters in there that, brothers and sisters and friends, that just had fallen out and had gotten arguments and wouldn't even talk with each other and nothing. But they'd rounded them all up that day and coaxed them and almost drugged some of them in there. It's a big old room. There's people sitting over here on this side of the room, wouldn't speak to people on this side. And so when we started that foot washing, the leader there, the person in whose house we were, young, slender guy, he brought in the basin of water, and he set it down in front of this one person, just set it out in the front, and then he went across the room, and he got this other person and brought him over, and he got this person out, and he set this person right down next to this other one. Well, they're not even talking. He takes the left shoe off of one and the right shoe off of the other and puts their 2 feet in the pan and begins to wash their feet. And God broke that devilish power and they began to weep. And the Spirit of God just moved over that place like you wouldn't believe. Knitting hearts back together that had been torn apart by the lies and the deceptions and the manipulations of the devil. God just doesn't like any of the works of the devil. Let's look at another scripture there. Proverbs 6, verse 17. We're talking about being humble now. Humility. 6:17, Proverbs 6:17. A proud look. The spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. We can go on down to 18. A heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. And that, I won't read any more, but it's a lot more there. A proud look. The spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. God's no respecter of persons. And he doesn't love any of us any more than the rest of us. And he doesn't exalt one of us over the rest of us. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And we're all ministers one to another. And love always gets under and lifts the other up. Love doesn't get above and look down. Never. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it, he will not go unpunished. Verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a humble and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the meek and poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. So we can get an idea of what God's attitude toward pride is all about in those three references. Pride was the cause of Satan's fall. You're all familiar with that in Ezekiel 28, 17, and Isaiah 14, 13, and 14. And then we can note the relationship between doing spiritual warfare and humility. Let's look at some scriptures that'll kind of give us an idea. James 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. But he gives us more and more grace, that is, the power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. So be subject to God. Stand firm against the devil. Resist him, and he will stick around. Resist him and he will flee from you. How many of you have resisted a particular problem and then all of a sudden you are not bothered with that anymore? So I see some of you shaking your head. It works. But be assured of this. He may not get after you in that particular area, but he's waiting for just a chink in your armor to come at you in another way. But again, come to that place of warfare to where you don't give the devil any glory, his demons any glory. You say, I'm giving the devil a hard time. Well, we're more than conquerors, aren't we? Well, if we're more than a conqueror, conquerors take the land. They don't try to defend it. We're not on the defense, we're on the offense. Or at least we should be. Hallelujah. My Bible says, everywhere the sole of my foot shall tread shall become holy ground. Amen. Yes. 1 Peter 5. Well, I didn't read the last verse there. Verse 8. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interest, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. Ooh, boy. Well, let's hurry up and get away from that and turn over there to 1 Peter. Chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Likewise, you that are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another, for God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Oh, hallelujah. Then the other two verses there, 8 and 9, I'm not going to read them. You go ahead and read them. I'm running out of time here, or I have run out. And in this humility, there's one other scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. And if you'll just note the relationship between doing spiritual warfare and humility, I'll read that again. If you're going to be in spiritual warfare, then it's going to have to take some humility. Because you're no match for the devil. But the Jesus that's in you, the Holy Ghost that's joined to you, the Almighty God that in that mysterious, marvelous, wonderful way that's taken you and I and joined us to himself, he is sufficient. And he desires to work through us to tear down and destroy the forces, the strongholds of the enemies. Amen? Well, glory. Can I get you to stand to your feet, please? We've got a whole lot more as time goes on. Maybe we'll see how much more we can get in next time, whenever that will be, whenever Glenn decides, and we'll just take it up from there. Well, glory. That little chorus says, I want more of Jesus. I want more of him than ever before. How about you? So you need to start saying, when you sing that, here's another little verse, and it goes like this, I've got more of Jesus, more and more and more. I've got more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I've got more of his great love, so rich and full and free. I've got more of Jesus, 'cause I gave him all of me. Hallelujah. That's the only way you're going to get more of him. Say this with me, Lord Jesus, I belong to you, spirit, soul, and body. I thank you for your counsel, your word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, so that I may walk, that I may live in liberty, in freedom, in health, in prosperity, in fullness of life, because I know that you have ordained for me to do so. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I declare this day that I am what you say I am. Receive it. I believe it. I have it because you gave it to me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.